Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on the West Coast. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I wanted to tell everyone that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell everyone as well that my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington from April 12th to the 16th, 2019, and there's a discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you can register early before November 1st. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. Simon Parks will be giving a presentation at the conference, as well as Aaron Elizabeth of Health Nut News from Florida will be coming up and giving a presentation as well. In addition, next month from September 6th to the 12th, I'll be taking a small group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. And I've been sponsoring trips to this area for the last couple of years, and it's a fantastic opportunity for people to visit the Hollow Earth and Mount Shasta. However, you have to follow certain spiritual protocols to gain entry, and if you're interested, please just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. It's a fascinating place, and I know you'll all have a wonderful time. Well, during this hour, I'll be discussing the beautiful From Hiroshima to Hope event in Seattle. Every year since 1984, the beautiful people of Seattle have sponsored a peace ceremony where they send lots of love and light to the world and to the victims of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. It's a huge event with thousands of people. Unfortunately, however, it's almost never covered by the local media in Seattle, but I'd like to publicize it because it's a beautiful place. Thousands of people come. It'll be held this Monday, August 6th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Green Lake. Of course, on August 6th, 1945, the United States dropped the world's atomic bomb on Hiroshima, followed by a second atomic bomb in Nagasaki, Japan, on August 9th, 1945. I have two guests on already. I'm waiting for my third guest to contact us, Mary Hansen from the Hiroshima to Hope Committee here in Seattle to talk about the event. But the two people I have on now is Kiko from California and Nui from here in the Seattle area. Both of them had relatives who survived the atomic bombs, and I think their perspective on things would be really, really, really interesting. Also, I'll be asking everyone to pray for peace in the world so that no innocent people will again die from atomic bombs. Kiko, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Hi. How are you doing today?
Very well.
Good.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. Kiko, if you don't mind me asking, you had your mother, is that right? And she survived the atomic bomb in Hiroshima?
Yes, she did. And my sister.
Okay.
And, my brother passed. He was 7 years old.
Hmm. Okay. And he passed away at the time the bomb was dropped.
Right.
Could you tell us a little bit about their experiences, please?
Well, I think my father asked my mother to come to Hiroshima for some reason. So she was in the countryside. So she was... she had a 7-year-old son and 3-year-old girl.
Uh-huh.
So they came to Hiroshima and stayed at this house. And then next day, within a 2-kilometer, they had an atomic bomb dropped.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So she almost died.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess there's a woman shouted at her that, how dare you? You are going to kill baby in your tummy, which is me, and so she was able to crawl out of the place, and she lived to be 92 years old, and she passed a little while ago.
Wow. What was her reflections on the use of the bomb? Did she discuss it with you ever?
Yes, she talked about it. She asked her every day.
Okay. All right. Well.
Sounds like almost a forever.
Uh-huh.
And one day I just decided to just not take in any more in my to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself that I'll never, ever get cancer and die, because, you know, most people die of cancer. And
right.
So, right. But anyway, so it just did not affect me after that. I will myself that I'm not going to live as a victim. So.
Well, you know, that's such a beautiful saying. I have to tell you, I had Jerry Pollock on, who's a wonderful water professor at the University of Washington, a couple months ago. It was Jerry Pollock, and then there was another, I had another guest along with him during that same program, and we talked about the babushkas. Have you heard about the babushkas in Chernobyl and what they've been able to accomplish there in spite of the radiation?
Very little.
Okay.
But I understand, I really understand that the power of a human, what we can do is just amazing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I do believe it.
Well, the amazing thing is, this was a couple of months ago, but I remember it very, very vividly in my own mind, that the babushkas had been in Chernobyl. Then they lost their home when Stalin had the area, or the Russian, the Soviet government had it commissioned for a nuclear power plant. But after the tragic accident at Chernobyl, they came back and they wanted to live in Chernobyl in spite of the radiation. And finally, they got in there and they've been living there ever since. And they tell themselves, Akiko, that they will not get cancer. And as a result of that, I don't know how many people, they're called babushkas, are living there in Chernobyl now, but none of them have gotten cancer because they believe they won't get it.
I know.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just so amazing. So when you said that you won't get cancer, that's really beautiful. And because you're in good health and you haven't gotten cancer. So, wow.
Yeah. Well, I was about 10 years old when I told that to myself.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to affect. I did not want somebody, even my own mother,
right,
to affect my life.
Right.
And I had a will. I willed it to myself.
Wow.
So, you know, I think we are very powerful beings.
Oh. Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, I want to bring in Anui Nui now from Seattle. Please stay on, Kiko, because I know that she had a similar kind of similar thing with her mom as well. Anui, are you there?
I am. Hi, Ted.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you could
and
be
hi,
on.
And hi, Kiko or Keiko?
Keiko.
Keiko. Oh, yeah. Okay. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm so glad both of you could be on the show today. Anui, tell me about a little bit about your mom and what she went through.
Well, my mother was about 16 when the bomb actually hit, and she
uh-huh.
It was during the summertime, so she had a summer job in the downtown area of Hiroshima
uh-huh.
and at a hospital, and she was a file clerk at that time, and
mm-hmm.
She was on a commuter train riding into downtown Hiroshima when the bomb actually fell.
Wow.
And all she remembers is that the train flew off the tracks
mm-hmm.
and it landed, and mayhem was
mm-hmm.
going on. Nobody
mm-hmm.
knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
She just thought it was a train wreck.
Oh,
she
wow.
didn't realize it was a devastating atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And she said most of the people, including herself, the first thing they knew to do was to run towards the center
mm-hmm.
of where the bomb actually fell.
Mm-hmm.
And she said as she was walking through the city and seeing all the devastation and feeling the heat, she was hearing the cries of survivors that because they were burnt, and she said the images were so brutal. But she remembers hearing the screams of people jumping in the water because they were so burnt they thought they could go into the water and get relief from the burns, but instead the waters were boiling. And so she recalls that. But she didn't like to talk about Hiroshima. I mean, just very rarely. I remember most of the information I got was because of we were studying Hiroshima in high school as a as part of the curriculum. And I asked her, but I remember our teacher showing a film, and I had to walk out of the class because as I was watching the bomb fall, I'm thinking, oh, my God, my mom's there.
Oh, my God.
That's the first thing I thought. And I had to leave the room, and she came after me, and she goes, if you don't watch that film, I'm going to flunk you. And I turned to her, and I said, I apologize. I said, but I know much more than you think I know about Hiroshima because my mom was there. And when I saw that the bomb was being dropped, I got mm-hmm. emotional. And so she understood, thank God, she understood. So she allowed me not to have to go in and watch that film.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that I didn't think I would be that moved by it, but I was.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What was her opinion on peace and the use of the bomb? I'd be curious what she thought of it.
That's a very good question because I asked that, you know, myself. I asked her that question, and she said, you know, at that time she understood that it was a world war,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't have any ill feelings towards the United States. Obviously, she married a military guy, my dad,
yeah.
and then moved, you know, to Hawaii, where we, you know, where he was from and, you know, where we grew up. So there wasn't, obviously, she did not like war, but she understood it. She
right.
understood that at that time it was a time of war and that the United States did what they could to try to stop, you know, any other invasions by the Japanese and so forth and so on. So
sure.
But no, she was very involved here in Seattle
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
Several atomic bomb, Japanese atomic bomb programs.
Right.
And one was actually one that came from Japan that would look at the health of survivors living in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So she
mm-hmm.
was part of that program. In fact, I was invited to be part of that program, too, but I elected not to.
Okay. We just had a guest, a surprise guest, walk into the studio. His name is, I hope I pronounced this right, Stan Shikuma. Is that right,
yeah,
Stan?
Shikuma.
Okay, great, great. And you're with the From Hiroshima to Hope Committee?
Right, yeah.
Wonderful. How nice of you to come in.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, great, great. Well, I have two guests on now, Kiko from California and Anui from Seattle area, talking about their mother's experience after the bombing of Hiroshima. They were both there, present when it was bombed.
Oh.
But we'll bring you on here shortly.
Okay.
Kiko and Anui, do you know? Do you think that atomic bombs will be used again in the future?
No,
I don't either.
I agree.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not.
I do not. I think that I can almost tell you that humanity is ready for the peace and unity. And you might not think so, you know, for what is happening to us all over the world.
Right.
But I think that humanity is much more enlightened, and I really feel energy-wise. I think there is a sweeping this beautiful earth, and I really feel we are ready for the peace, unity and love. I think that humanity is ready for the beautiful shift. So I will say absolutely no.
Keiko, you said that so beautifully. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
That was beautiful, Keiko. Thank you.
Yeah, that was really, really nice.
Well, that's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
You know, I see so many hatred, and we are so divided. Right now, right? All over the world.
Right.
But yet, if you sit quietly and really feel it, you can feel this beautiful energy
right.
all around. And I feel it. And I think we are in just a beautiful waking state at this point.
I have to tell you, this is kind of a joke, but if you watch a lot of Fox News, you'll think the whole world is in a big fight all the time. You know, I'm not knocking it too much. Sometimes they have good stories, but much of what they do is conflict. They focus in on conflict.
Right. So stop watching news and TV.
Right.
Just stay out of it.
And just
you really begin to know what is really happening.
And just listen to Out of This World Radio from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time, and you get all the news you need. I hope. I hope. Well, we just had a wonderful man walk in to the studio here from Hiroshima to Hope. Stan, introduce yourself to my audience, please.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm Stan Shikuma. I work with From Hiroshima to Hope. I was one of the original organizers of the first one in 1984, along with Martha Bryce. And I also play taiko, and my taiko group has been playing at this event since 1987.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much, sir, for you and your wonderful, beautiful friends on creating this event every year, because you've helped turn the tide. All of us lightworkers have, but especially events such as yours, making people aware of what happened back so many 73 years ago and how these atomic bombs shouldn't be used again. Could you tell us, please give people your website and a little bit about what's going on Monday and how people can participate?
Okay, well, the program is held every year on August 6th, Hiroshima Day. We start at around 6 p.m. with people making lanterns that we will float at the end of the program. And the official program starts at 7. We have speakers, we have music, we have singing. And you can find information on the Facebook page of From Hiroshima to Hope. Or if you Google From Hiroshima to Hope, you can find the website as well.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, that's incredible. That's incredible. I wanted to share a little bit about a history of the atomic bomb here in the world that people may not be aware of. As some people know, I'm sure that I'm in touch on a regular basis with what's called the Galactic Alliance, which is a benevolent alliance of planets beyond this planet and solar system. They have approximately 450 million planets, number approximately 7 trillion entities. They're all benevolent, mostly human, not all. And one of the things they've told me anyway in my communications with them is that atomic energy, atomic power, atomic bombs is illegal on benevolent human planets outside of this solar system and outside of this Earth, because they can only be used for destruction. The atomic bomb itself was given to the U.S. government and also the Nazis as well as a way to blow ourselves up. And we almost did that in the 80s and 90s and the 70s. But I think, fortunately, people are turning around now and realizing that the only harm can come from this technology. And I'd love all of your, Stan, I'd love your opinion on that.
Well, I see some hope in the fact that the international campaign against nuclear weapons won the Nobel Peace Prize last year, mm-hmm. and that 122 nations voted for it. We're still collecting signatures. I think there are 50 or 60 nations that have signed on to that. Mm-hmm. Does not include any of the declared nuclear powers as yet, including the United States. So I'm hopeful that can change sometime in the future. I think it's really important that people be aware and take stands and speak out and attend things like From Hiroshima to Hope so that we can build more of a movement that can stop weapons of mass destruction of any kind.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I went the first one I went to was last year when I found out about it through word of mouth. Mm-hmm. What the beautiful thing that I like, Stan, is that everyone makes these rice paper, you help me with this, they're little flotation things that they write peace and love.
Yeah, we call them floating lanterns. In Japan, they're called toro nagashi.
Okay.
And it's sort of a traditional way. You have a floating platform with a candle inside and rice paper wrapped around it. And you can write things on the rice paper. So from Hiroshima to Hope, some of them will say things like peace, world peace, love. And others will make their own and write little memorials to loved ones who have passed on.
Uh-huh. That is so, so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Mary Hansen just joined us now, and I want to welcome Mary to the program. Mary, hi. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
We have a full house today. Stanley Shikuma is here, along with a wonderful lady named Kiko from California,
right.
And Anui from the Seattle area, both of whom whose moms were lived through Hiroshima after the atomic bombs.
Yeah.
And could you tell my audience a little bit about your from Hiroshima to Hope on Monday and how people can participate?
Sure. I'm happy to. The event on Monday starts at 6, and it's at Green Lake. Now, Green Lake's a pretty big area, so if you go to the Bathhouse Theater parking lot, there's a hill between that parking lot and the lake.
Okay.
And the lantern floating will take place on the lake side of that hill. Mm-hmm. And people usually either take a bus. It's pretty close to Aurora and Green Lake Way. But anyway, or people drive and park in the neighborhood, or there are going to be thousands of people there, so you might think about wearing some fairly good walking shoes because you may have to walk a little ways. But anyway, for the first hour from 6 till 7, people just socialize, have a picnic maybe, put their lanterns together, and also they make contact with peace groups that have tables there with information on things that people can do to support what Stan Shikuma was referring to, various efforts to make sure that nuclear weapons are never used again. And those are amazing groups. The original group, Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, that Martha Bryce, the founder, was a leader in back in the 80s, and she's still active in the leadership, and other groups, the Coalition Washington Against Nuclear Weapons, which is made up of over 30 anti-nuclear groups, will have information and tables there for people to see what they can do about it. But it's also just a really warm, friendly environment, people kind of getting caught up with their friends and having their picnics and enjoying the beauty of the lake. And then once the program gets underway, there's music and there's readings, and it's very meaningful. And the core message is that we honor the victims of the bombings at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and our lanterns honor their spirits, but they also honor the spirits of all victims of war and violence. So people frequently will be thinking about their own people that they've known who have been victims of war and violence, who they also wish to honor, and that's totally, totally appropriate. So after the program, at about maybe 8:15, people go from the program area over a bit to the right-hand side, and they follow a procession down to a dock. And the reason we use a dock is to have a little wind at our backs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit more wind if you can get out into the water a ways, and the dock allows that.
Mm-hmm.
And people line up with their lanterns lit and wait to go out on the dock and hand their lantern to someone who will put it in the water. And then people also gather on the, after they go back off the dock, they gather at various vantage points around the lake and just watch the lanterns. It's an amazing moment for meditation, for peace.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? You know, when I went to your event last year, the overwhelming message that I got is that there are so many good people in Seattle and all over the world who don't want another nuclear war, who want peace and harmony on this planet, and that's what we're headed to. And I want to thank you so much for all of your efforts because you've made the difference. You've turned the tide. And with that, I want to bring on Kiko now in California. Kiko, what do you see happening for humanity for the rest of this decade and as a result of these peace efforts?
I think that, I think what we can do is really focus on unity and peace, uniting with one another, just regular people, just all of us, not the famous people. And I think that we should be empowered to be part of it. And just imagine 7 billion of us unite all over the world.
Yeah.
Just in a vision, if you sit down quietly, just imagine that, how powerful can that be? And I think we can change our destiny for our future. And I think our future is really bright, and we must accept it and believe that, because what we project is going to be real. And I think it's very important for us to just project the love and unity and peace. That's all possible. And I feel that's the reason we are here. You are here. All of you. All of us here.
Mm-hmm.
And, let us be hopeful, and we are going to achieve this beautiful peace on this earth.
I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for sharing that. Anui, I'll ask you the same thing. What do you see happening in the future for humanity?
Well, Keiko said it so lovely. I totally agree with her.
Mm-hmm.
And also your vision is very similar to my vision. And Keiko's vision is that I think people now really recognize that we're all humans that belong here in peace and not in war.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my mom always saying that war is war, but people, we have the capability of loving one another.
Mm-hmm.
And like Keiko said, it's up to us to make those changes and see, just make changes within our own selves first, and then that will spread. Very much like, the aloha in Hawaii where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And we say aloha because aloha means love, and we welcome people with open arms and love. And then we send them off with aloha, which is love.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, yes, I definitely feel that peace is beginning with each and every one of us.
One of the messages I received from Mahatma Gandhi several years ago when I was writing my book, Messages from the Masters, was that he said over and over again, be the change that you wish to see in the world. And mm-hmm. and that was so prophetic. They also told me, Mahatma Gandhi and President Kennedy, as well as Professor Einstein, said at the time, 2 or 3 years ago, they said, don't worry about North Korea. They're going to become a peaceful country and join the world community. It's going to take some time, but we will not have a third world war involving North Korea. And they were absolutely right. And I want to thank them so much for sharing that. That one of the things that's been shared with me from President Kennedy last year, he said that there are so many points of light on this planet now, is that there are some dark areas still, but most of the planet now has beautiful points of light coming from it. And there's going to be a time here in the next year or two where the entire planet will become light, a light body. And Simon Parks, who was just on my show during the last hour, said that this process will be completed in about 7 years. And that's been speeded up to the year 2025 or even 2024, depending upon our choices. So all of you have worked toward this change. And what President Kennedy has told me many times is that he tried to change the world in a good way from the top down, but there was so much resistance. Because it's the destiny of planet Earth to ascend and go into the higher dimensions, all of this change now is happening. Good change is happening from the bottom up, from all of us talking on the radio today and all of my listeners worldwide. I want to let you know that you're all having a hand in making this planet a much, much better and happier place.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
And Keiko, I know that you have, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but you have some good psychic powers sometimes. And what do your spirit friends on the other side say about that?
Well, I think that every day I am guided to focus on love rather than hate. And I think that once we accept and will ourselves to focus on just the opposite from negative things,
mm-hmm.
we are creating the positive, beautiful world. And I think that's what we need to we should be focusing every single day. You know, like when I get up and start driving, I always say to myself, bless us all and let us keep all of us safe on the road. Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed how people drive very peacefully. So I think when you put the intention, mm-hmm. the word of intention is very powerful. So all of us put the intention for peace, everything positive, and be in love, and be gratitude, and be in now. I think that we're creating this just a beautiful future for us, you know, for future generations.
Well,
and then do not dwell on negative things, please.
Right. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And with that, I'd like to ask everyone on my show today and everyone listening around the world to please send lots of love and light to both President Trump and Kim Jong-un in North Korea, that they may create a world of peace and that there be no conflict, further conflict with North Korea. I know that most people in the world want to live in peace. They don't want to have conflict and another war. And I know peace is coming, and it's here. And just visualize that. And Nui Nui, I'd love your opinion on that, too.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, Gandhi said we must be the change we want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And also what Keiko was saying is so powerful, that a simple thought of love and peace while she's driving creates that energy.
Yeah.
And I see this energy around Keiko, you know, as she's driving, and everybody's, regardless of whether they know it or not, they are picking up that same thought process and that feeling.
Right.
And I always say, what do we as individuals want to give to the world? And, you know, every day our thoughts are that gift. So if mm-hmm. it's in negativity, that's what you're gifting to the world. But if it's in positivity, that's what we're gifting to the world. So, yes, how we behave, what we think, our emotions, everything is what we give to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be responsible for it and appreciative that we are here and that we have that ability to change. And that, you know, I think is really important for individuals to realize that they contribute to everything that occurs in this world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that. And Mary, I didn't want to forget about you. I love your comments, too.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate everyone's positive and hopeful comments. And I would just say that I feel that the energy that happens at Hiroshima to Hope is something that even the people that cannot come can participate in if
sure.
they just meditate from 6 till 9 sometime in that time
sure.
on Monday, that can augment what we do, because it just adds to the energy. It's a very loving and positive energy that's created there. But I have to acknowledge that many people have to work harder to not be in fear these days.
Right.
And that it's okay, that the fear that people have, as Pema Chodron points out, is something that we can acknowledge, but we can just say, oh, that's fear, mm-hmm, and then we can move through it. But I think that what I love about Hiroshima to Hope is that we really can point, actually, to some very hopeful things that are going on in the world. And just very briefly, one of the things I would point to is the fact that more and more people realize that we can get all of the energy we need from a very peaceful source, and that's from the sun,
mm-hmm.
and that the conflicts in the political conflicts in the world over resources can diminish over time because we will be getting our energy from the sun,
mm-hmm.
and that this is at night, but the sun's energy is actually reflected back to us from the moon.
Oh.
And the moon will be out somewhat when we're at Green Lake. So we can really feel that sense of hope that even though we have some fear that we have to work through, that we actually have, you could say it's on the shelf. We know how to treat each other. We've known how to treat each other for a very long time. It's treat each other as you would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
All religions believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the tools to be able to say we can share a good, decent life with all beings on the planet without conflict. And we know that we can do it. So I think that what I love about people coming to Hiroshima Hope, or people thinking about it as it is going on, is that it's a place where you are out of the isolation you might find yourself in, that
mm-hmm.
that you break that isolation and you create visually, you're right there with actual real other humans in real space and time. It's not online, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that people can join us in spirit as well as just come and be with us Monday.
Yeah, what a beautiful event you've created. And now let's see, now the year, this is 2018. It started in 1984, so you've been doing it 34 years now, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we do it because we love it.
Yeah.
We love working with each other.
Right.
The people that
right.
put the lanterns together, we make the bases, we make the lantern sleeves, we have to figure out everything. You know, it's kind of like theater. You know, you have
uh-huh.
to put the event together, and it's
right.
a wonderful committee. Stan Shikuma is our MC, and
he's here.
Yeah, I hope you get a chance to hear a little more from Stan. His taiko drumming is very wonderful.
Well, he should have brought his drums with him today, so but that's okay. I'll record it on Monday.
Good.
Great. Stan, I love your comments, too.
Sure. Just to go off of what some of the others have said, three words that come to my mind when I think of From Hiroshima to Hope is, first is the hope. I think with a lot of commemorative events, sometimes we're looking too much at the past, but with From Hiroshima to Hope, the hope is the future.
Right.
That's where we're looking forward and to what could be and not just what is or what was.
Yeah.
So I like that aspect. Another thing that we often bring into it is the concept of justice, because we know that conflict, absence of conflict by itself does not mean that there's peace. It could still be an oppressive or at least mentally violent place, even if there's no physical violence, if there isn't justice also existing.
Mm-hmm.
And then community, what Mary was talking about, people coming together and coming together with a common purpose and a common goal, and hopefully out of this also common actions, whether that's voting or writing poetry or writing songs or running for office or taking to the streets when that's necessary to show your passion. I think those are all important avenues of community expressing a desire for peace.
Stan, I know that, and Mary, I know that you've had some businesses support your efforts. Could you name a few of the businesses so people could support them here in the area?
Well, one that I love is Dunn Lumber. Gives us the wood that we carefully make the bases for the lanterns out of and
wonderful.
The dowels.
Okay.
And I don't have it right in front of me who some of the other businesses are, but mostly it's also people just donate their time. None of us are paid to do this. So you'll have people donating food or people bringing all kinds of things that are necessary, their skills and their ability to invent and create. The women that do the calligraphy, that's huge. The older Japanese women who do beautiful calligraphy on the rice paper.
Mm.
And they have many different things that you can ask. You can ask them to say something in Japanese calligraphy on your particular lantern if you get there fairly early. Sometimes
yeah.
we run out of lanterns, but their volunteering to do that is such an important piece of this. Actually, we do get some media attention, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, frequently. But I also feel that the people who just show up and volunteer on the Hiroshima to Hope Committee, one of the more fun things that people do is work on the cleanup committee. They get in rowboats and go out, and they're actually in a rowboat in amongst all these floating lanterns. This is after 10 p.m. when it starts to end. But that is an amazing experience to actually be in a boat with floating lanterns all around you as they're removed from the water. So I want to thank all the people and to invite people in your radio listening audience to just come and join us. And if you enjoy the experience, then volunteer, because it's unique. There's nowhere in the country outside of Japan, I do not believe, there is this large a lantern floating. At least I've never heard of one, and quite a few people I know from Japan have told us that.
I think you're right on that. I think this is the largest one outside Japan. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Stan, go ahead.
Just to add on to who folks we could thank, the boat rental company, I forget their exact name, but at Green Lake, who rents canoes and rowboats, they donate the rowboats that we use.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful.
And stay open late so that we can get the boats and take them out at night. There's also a Sikh community group, Gurdwara, that does Punjabi calligraphy.
Oh, wow.
So you have a choice now for the last several years of having either Japanese calligraphy or Punjabi calligraphy on your lantern.
Hmm. Wow, that's great.
And then all of the musicians and artists who perform at the event donate their time.
Kiko and Anui, I have to ask you this. What would your mom, what would your mom, mothers think of this Hiroshima, from Hiroshima to Hope event on Monday?
Well, you know, I have a feeling my mom actually has been to those, because I've been living in Hawaii, but I know she did a lot of volunteer work, and so, you know, I know my mom is always supportive of those who are very conscientious about peace and love, and, you know, because that was her sentiment also. But, yeah, I think she would just love it.
Nice.
And thank you, Mary and Stan. I appreciate this. I know in Hawaii at Ala Moana Beach Park, we do this similar thing, but I don't think there's 8,000 people that show up.
Well, good. Good. And Keiko, what would your mom think of this event on Monday?
Well, I don't know what she would say, but I think that what Stan said and what Mary said, I think it is just a beautiful. And I think that are people that are perished by atomic bomb, I think that they're still, I know they are feeling being honored. And so, you know, so that's what I feel.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, when I first started getting messages from the other side back about 3 or 4 years ago, they told me that we would not, that the timelines had changed and we would not be ended up in a nuclear war. At one point during the 1980s, we were on a path toward a third world war, but that's completely changed now. And it's changed because of Stan, Keiko, Mary, and Anui, and myself, and everyone listening today, because we've made the conscious choice to make this a better planet. And we refuse to accept negativity for the future. So I guess the lesson here, too, is that if you're listening to a radio or a television show and they're predicting the end of the world, just turn it off. Because it's nonsense. Because if we're not going to, this is not the end of the world. Now, it's we're not going to have the third world war that many have predicted in the past. I do see the world changing radically, and in a way, it will be the end of their negative world, because we won't have conflict anymore. It'll be very different in the future as we ascend into the higher dimensions. The planet for tens of thousands of years was the Schuman residence was at 7.8 hertz. And in September of 2016, the hertz, the frequency rate, actually almost doubled to 13.8 hertz. Then in December of 2016, it went up to something around 30 hertz. By January 2017, it had gone up to 40 hertz. When I checked it a few months ago, it was hovering between 165 to 190 hertz. I believe it's up to 230 hertz now. And by the end of 2020, it should go, according to my spirit friends on the other side, to 800 hertz. What kind of world will it be at 800 hertz? Well, give you an example. At 528 hertz, that's the frequency of love. So we will have surpassed the frequency of love within about 2.5 years. And negative governments, negative corporations, negative people who still cling to the old ways of conflict and war and fighting will find it extremely difficult to stay on this planet, and they will leave. I don't know how they'll leave, but they'll leave because they won't be able to keep up with this frequency, that shift that's happening. And Simon has told me, and my spirit guides have confirmed, that the ascension process for planet Earth has greatly accelerated to the point where at one time, Nostradamus told me in my conversations with him that this process of ascension into the fifth dimension of higher dimensional vibration for planet Earth would have been completed by the year 2038. Then I was told a few years ago, because of many people's choices of making this planet a better place, it would be completed by the year 2028. Then I received a message both from the other side and from Simon that the frequency now will be completed by the year, this transformation by the year 2025, which is only 7 years from now. Then I received the message just recently that it's going to probably be 2024, which is only 6 years away. So we're rapidly accelerating in the ascension. And the Earth has been waiting to do this at least since the early 60s when President Kennedy was president. And he has told me from the other side that it's the destiny of planet Earth to ascend and become a true benevolent, loving planet where conflict and war will be a thing of the past, and people will truly live in a paradise. I know that sounds wildly optimistic, but that's the messages that I get from the other side. And I've learned from being in touch with the other side for the past 24 years that if you get a good, clear channel to the higher dimensions and you talk to good spirit guides, everything they say is 100% true. They've never told me anything wrong.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Anui. And Keiko, I'd love your, and Mary, I'd love your comments on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Mary, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying, and I really loved how hard President Kennedy tried. There's something that he actually wrote about it. It was his address to the American University, I believe was the name of it, and you can Google that, but it's a profound intention that he set. His sense of, I remember because I was about 16 when he died, but I remember that sense of the energy that he brought to the world. And when you said before that he felt a lot of resistance, I still feel like we are doing what the Kennedy brothers asked us to do. I mean, they just said, you know, they set an intention, and now we're carrying that out. And that feeling of their energy, the way Robert Kennedy used to say, is just ripples, that when you do something good, it just ripples out.
Right.
And whenever I'm up at Green Lake, I feel that. I look out at that lake, and I think that every wave on that lake represents a rippling good energy, a rippling love. And I think of all the good things that people are doing at that moment that I can't see with my eyes, but that I know are happening, and I can feel that. And so I can't say that I have a channel to the other side, but I do feel the energy of especially President Kennedy and Mahatma Gandhi blessing what we do. I definitely feel that energy.
I'll share something with you that President Kennedy told me last year, last fall. He said he was working on a peace initiative. He couldn't give me too many details, but he told me not to tell anyone. And I respected that, but he says it's okay to tell now. But he was one of the, he is still our president on the other side. And he was behind the peace agreement with North Korea. Mm-hmm. That he went into the consciousness, subconsciousness and consciousness of both Kim Jong-un and President Trump and helped them reach this this peace agreement. And he says he's also working on other peace initiatives now as well. And he also says that he's never stopped being our president since he was assassinated on November 22nd, 1963. So for many Americans and people around the world, I want to let everyone know that President John F. Kennedy is still very much alive on the other side. And all of his family, him and Robert F. Kennedy and his family, Teddy Kennedy, they're all working very hard to create a planet of true peace. And so he applauds you, and he helps you. He actually helps your efforts, too, behind the scenes.
Wonderful.
And with that, I'd like to play, if we could, Eric, if you could play the one clip from President Kennedy Asked Not. It's a short clip, and then we'll come back and wrap up our program today.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
His spirit is still very much alive today, and he's working tirelessly behind the scenes to make this planet a much better and happier place. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I want to give just a little bit of time to each person. Mary, go ahead and have a little time, and then we'll go on to Stan and Keiko and Nui Nui and try to fit in as many people as we can in the next couple of minutes.
Well, thank you, Ted, for giving us this wonderful hour. I mean, this is just so helpful, and I so look forward to seeing many of the people that are in the radio audience at Hiroshima at Hope. And I really hope that the peaceful work that you do, Ted, will be blessed as we go forward.
Well, thank you, Mary. I really appreciate that. The goal of my program and my life is to make this planet a better place and raise consciousness. And with that, Stan, I'd love your few words from you, too.
Oh, well, thank you for having us all on today and discussing this subject. I think we don't think enough about what peace means and what things have happened in the past that were running against it. And I think it's just always a struggle to keep that in mind, and that we must continue that struggle to keep it in the forefront.
Right. Thank you so much, Stan. Keiko, I'd love a few words from you as well.
I just wanted to say that humanity have been survival mode, and also focus on pain and suffering, and also fear and control.
Right.
But we are shifting into heart, that we are going to function everyday life from our heart, which is love.
Thank you,
so
Keiko.
Blessings to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Keiko, so much for sharing that. And Anui, we've got about 30, go ahead, 30 seconds.
Well, I'll keep it very short and simple, and thank you for having me on,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate everybody else and their stories that they have to share. With lots of love and light, blessings to everyone.
We're together, all of us are creating a much better and happier world, and I know that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And again, if people talk about doom and gloom, simply don't listen to them because they're wrong. Thank you so much, everyone around the world, for supporting and listening to Out of This World Radio. We are a listener-supported show, and your donations are always appreciated. I hope you all have a beautiful and really happy weekend, and thank you again so much for listening to Out of This World Radio. And don't forget, if you live in the Seattle, Vancouver, or Portland area, please come to the From Hiroshima to Hope ceremony at Green Lake on August 6th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a beautiful weekend. Bye-bye.